Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. For the month of October, we have been considering the theme of Know the Lord Who Chastens. And as we have read from the Old Testament together, we have considered that the true and living God, He instructs and He educates, He corrects. After He instructs and corrects, when His people continue to go astray, He disciplines. And there are times in which, after instruction and correction and discipline, He punishes. But the point of all of that is to bless us. In Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 5, we find the word chastisement. In the context of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, through chapter 53, verse 12, which is about the servant of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord's anointed. Then the context of prophecy concerning Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Isaiah 53, verse 5 is about punishment. Depending upon the translation that you use, the expression that the Holy Spirit gave to the prophet Isaiah communicates something about the person and the work of Jesus that I think is worthy of our consideration. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. For a few minutes this morning, as we consider Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, this specific expression in the verse, I want us to think about our punishment, and I want us to think about our peace. And as we think about everything that we have learned this month together, as we have considered Know the Lord Who Chastens, and as we turn our attention to Isaiah 53, verse 5, what we come to understand in all of this is that we have a problem. The only way a lawbreaker can be at peace with the law is to suffer the punishment that the law demands. In James 4:12, we read of the one lawgiver and judge. And so from the beginning, what we see about the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am, is that the law of the one lawgiver and judge demands the punishment of death. Romans 6 verse 23 summarizes the entire revelation of God from the beginning. When we eat of forbidden fruit, when we transgress the law of God, the penalty is death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, he shall die. And so to come to terms with the truth of my individual problem is imperative. In Romans, the third chapter, and in verse 23, and in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, God is communicating to us something that our conscience ought to be screaming at us as we come to terms with who God is. I have sinned. I have broken the law of the one lawgiver and judge, and as a result of my personal individual sin, I am under the punishment of death. And I know that is true about you, and you know that is true about me, because in Romans 3, verse 23, the word all is used. And in Romans 5, verse 12, the word all is used. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So as we think about our problem this morning, if you have sinned, you are not at peace with God. This is what the prophets were pleading with the people to understand from Elijah and Elisha. To Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. And Hosea and Amos. And Habakkuk. Zechariah. You have sinned. And as a result of your sin, you are not at peace with God. Rather, the wrath of God abides on you. Because that is what law does. It brings about wrath because we transgress it. And the wages of sin is death. The penalty for transgression of the law of the one lawgiver and judge is death. And so for us to be at peace with God, the one lawgiver and judge, our sin must be punished. And I believe that this is true of everybody. From the first century until now, every individual person has got to wrestle with this Jesus. This is the will of the true and living God, that every individual created in the image of God would take their heart and their soul and their mind, and they would filter Jesus of Nazareth through it. And that they would think about who He is and when He lived and what He did with His life and in His life and what He said. That every individual would think about what happened to Him. And why it happened. And that they would come to this understanding about Him, that He matters more than anyone who has ever lived in all of human history. This Jesus matters because He received our chastening. He received our punishment. He received our punishment so we could have peace with God. I would to God that we could see that. In Romans chapter 4, after all have been found to be guilty of sin and under the righteous judgment of God, we learn that there is hope in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we learn, beginning in Romans chapter 4, verse 24, that if we believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, that we can be justified by faith, that we can be saved by grace through faith. And this Jesus matters because, verse 25, He was delivered up because of our offenses. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And He was raised because of our justification. Because as Romans 3, verses 21 through 26 communicates, God doesn't want to just be just. He also wants to be the justifier of those who believe. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus matters because He received our punishment so we could have peace with God. And no one before Him and no one after Him has been qualified to do so. And we can have assurance that this is who He is and what He did, and that He was found to be acceptable to God because God raised Him up. What did Jesus do for us at the cross? He made peace with God on our behalf through His blood. When the chastisement for our peace fell upon Him. Jesus matters because this is only true of Him. He could pay the penalty for sin and not suffer eternal punishment because He had no sin of His own. That is not true of you. That is not true of me. That is not true of our idols. Whether we take wood or metal or iron and we fashion a god in our image, or whether we set up an idol in our heart, nothing nor no one could do what He did, and that is why He matters. When we think about Jesus, there are a lot of things that we ought to think about. But as we think about knowing the Lord who chastens, we need to think about the fact that Jesus received our punishment at Calvary so that we could have peace with God. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Jesus received the punishment for the sins of the whole world on the cross, but only those who believe will receive the blessing of His sacrifice. And this is why it matters what you believe about Him. There are a lot of people that have lived throughout human history, and There is but one name that is above all names. In Romans, the third chapter, the conclusion of the whole matter concerning the problem of sin is this. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is nothing new. Law condemns because we transgress it, we break it, we fall short of it. And so the righteousness of God apart from the law, it's witnessed by the law itself, and the prophets speak to this over and over and over again, rising up early and staying up late, trying to convince the people of God of their day that they have sinned and that they are under the wrath of God and they need to believe and they need to repent. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference. Whether we're talking about Jews or Gentiles or males or females, whether we're talking about slaves or masters, there is no difference. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all and on all who believe. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are justified freely by the grace that is available through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. A fancy word that has to do with the appeasement of wrath. Well, why is God angry? Why is God full of holy hostility? Because His law that we have transgressed, that we have broken, it is a reflection of His nature, of His character, and of His will. And all of those things about Him are perfect. And we choose the imperfect. We choose something over Him that is not good for us. He and He alone is God. And when we create a God in our image, or we make ourselves God, it doesn't set well with Him, because He is from eternity. He is not a man. And if it weren't for Him, none of us would have been created. If it weren't for Him, none of us would be sustained, because in Him we live and move and have our very being. And so God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, Jesus. And through faith in His person and in His work at the cross, we can be justified by His blood, because the chastisement for our peace was upon Jesus. And the point of all of that is to demonstrate, verse 26, His righteousness in the fact that, yes, He is just, but sin has to be punished. And so He found a way in eternity that He worked out in time where He could be just and the justifier of the sinner who has faith in Jesus Christ. Why is God just to forgive me of my sin? Why is God just to forgive you and others of their sin when we are all guilty? We live in a world in which we watch the news, we read the Drudge Report, we read the Washington Post, and all we see around us day in and day out, all day long, is injustice. It would seem that the wickedness of the wicked is just running wild, and that people are just getting away with things left and right. God is communicating to us in Christ that no one is getting away with anything. And that is why God is just to forgive us when we believe. because He punished Jesus for our sins at Calvary. John the Baptist would say it this way in John chapter 3, verse 36. It matters what you believe about me, but it doesn't matter as much as what you believe about Him, because I am descending and He is ascending because He is before me. So while it matters that you understand who I am, what matters more is that you understand who He is. And if you believe in Him, then you have eternal life. But if you don't obey the Son, you will not see life, but the wrath of God will abide on you. Why? Because that's how serious sin is. From the beginning, God has communicated to us that sin is so serious that the punishment for it is death. And so what did Jesus do at Calvary? He died. And through His death, we can be delivered from the wrath to come. We can be justified by His blood, which was pure and innocent and holy. And we can be saved from wrath through Him. And so when we think about the person and the work of Jesus, and we think about preaching Christ and Him crucified in our time, and we think about the nature of man, and the thinking of man, and the behavior of man, and we think about man from the beginning, and we think about man during the days of Jeremiah, and we think about our own selves in 2018, why don't more folks believe? And the answer is pride. It is just that simple. And it is just that convicting. Because all of us want to believe that we are special. And so someone comes along and says to us, you're doing it wrong. Your thinking is not right. Your speech is not right. Your behavior is not right. And in our pride, we say, I'm innocent. I don't agree with you. I have not sinned. I have nothing to repent of. What have I done? Why did the northern kingdom of Israel go into Assyrian captivity? Why did the southern kingdom of Judah go into Babylonian captivity? Because the people of God during that time did not receive instruction, correction, discipline. And there was nothing left for God to do but punish them. And in the midst of all of that disobedience and pride, God used those same prophets to communicate to those who believed the message of the prophets during that time that God's intent is not to completely destroy them, but to bless them. And if in their individual righteousness they will humble themselves and repent, that in His time He will bring restoration and blessing through David, the son of David, the servant of Isaiah 52 and 53, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And so in time, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4 verse 4, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And at Calvary, the chastisement for our peace fell upon Him. For some 3 hours he was in the darkness, separated to the point that he would say to our God and Father, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He forsook Jesus during those 3 hours so that he might not have to forsake those who believe for eternity. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's what you ought to believe about Jesus. I would to God I had it within my power to touch your heart so that you might receive Him. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, the Apostle Paul would say to the Corinthians at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Justice will be served. Make no mistake about it. You are not going to get away with anything. I am not going to get away with anything. All of the injustice that we see in our world, it will not stand. And so on the day of judgment, there will be those who get what they deserve. There will be others who find grace and mercy. And the difference, according to the book of Romans, is found in this great word that has multiple layers of meaning. Faith. Will you be punished on the day of judgment, or will you allow Jesus to receive your punishment at Calvary? This is the hope that we have in Christ alone. He and He alone received our punishment. And by faith, we can allow Him to receive what we deserve, so that by grace, through faith, we might receive the blessing that the Prince of Peace came to give to those who believe. In the Great Commission, Jesus would say, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." What does that have to do with the chastisement for our peace? Romans chapter 6 communicates at great length what Jesus was talking about when He said in Mark's account, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Why are we baptized into Christ? Because we believe in His person and we believe in His work. We are baptized into Christ by faith. We believe that He is Emmanuel, God in the flesh, Isaiah 7:14. We believe that He is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6 and 7. We believe that He is the servant of Isaiah 52. We believe that the chastisement for our peace fell upon Him. And as a result of our belief in Him, when He says to us, "Believe and be baptized," we are baptized into Him. And Romans 6 verse 3 communicates that what we are being baptized into, as we are being baptized into the person of Jesus, is we are being baptized into His work. And the work that He did for us in Isaiah 53 verse 5 is the work of receiving our punishment. What He did in the flesh, we do in the Spirit, so that we don't have to experience it on the day of judgment and for all of eternity. I like that. I like that a lot. I would to God that you would like it. That you would see the beauty in it, the love and the grace and the mercy. And that you would see that outside of faith and outside of being in Christ and outside of being baptized into His death, that the wrath of God abides on you. That's why He matters. And that's why our response to Him matters, because when we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that's not the end of our story, because it wasn't the end of His. David was a man after God's own heart who had feet of clay, and he fell short of God's glory in a lot of ways really fast in two chapters in 2 Samuel. But God had made these covenants with David, and some great things were going to happen through David and through his family. And we get to the time of Acts, the second chapter, and it ain't about David. It never was about David. It was always about David's son, about David's descendant. It was always about Jesus. David is both dead and buried, and we have his tomb with us until this very day. But this Jesus, God has raised him up, because the chastisement for our peace fell upon Him. He had no sin of His own. He was the sinless, perfect Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the earth. And so on the third day, what did God do? He raised Him up. When we are buried with Him into baptism, when we are buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too are raised. And we also, along with Him, in Him, through Him, and for Him to His glory, walk in newness of life. This morning, if you have not done this, that is the will of our God and Father in heaven for you. That is the will of Christ Jesus for you. This is the message of the Holy Spirit in our day. To believe in Jesus and to be baptized into Him, so that He receives your punishment and you don't. So this morning, if you have not done this, you can do it right now. You can come to the front and you can confess Jesus. And we'll just stop everything. And we'll baptize you into Christ in a baptistry full of warm water behind me. We have clothes you can change into. And we can all have that done in 15 minutes or so. You don't have to obey the gospel right this minute. You can wait till the service is over. And you can say to any one of us here, I'm ready. I need to do this. I haven't done this. This afternoon, if you get to thinking about this and it all comes together for you, we're not hard to get a hold of. When you believe is when you need to do this. And when you believe, we are ready to help you. While we stand and while we sing.